Good afternoon, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnel Doré, and joining me today is Elaine Durbach.
Hi, Arnel.
Hey, Elaine. Naturalistic Support is a new approach to lasting personal growth. Well, let's make this a little lower back here. Let's see. Yeah, that's better. To lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. We combine a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. And through doing that, we help each other. And this happens when you call us to talk about yourselves and to talk to each other. Our number is 212-209-2877. And today, we're continuing our look at the loneliness epidemic. As we said last week, in 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General called loneliness and isolation a public health crisis as deadly as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And according to the Cigna U.S. Loneliness Index, nearly half of United States adults report experiencing loneliness on a regular basis. So, in our high-tech age of hyper-connectivity, where virtually everyone has a cell phone in their pocket, what exactly is causing this public health crisis? So we're going to go right into that topic, but I just want to also announce, I don't know if you knew this, Lane, but today is the 1 year, it's our last show of our first year. Tomorrow would be the 1 year anniversary of our first show of Naturalistic Support.
Well, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary to you too. So yeah, this is great. This is where the balloons come down and noisemakers and all that.
Oh, that's what's descending all around me.
Yeah, exactly. And the confetti.
Oh, cake?
You know,
I
could do without the glitter, though. I don't really like all the way it's all sticking to my
cleaning
toes and everything.
Forever.
Yeah, it's not
as long as there's cake. Everybody needs cake.
I agree. Last week we discussed how loneliness, as we said, is a serious public health problem. And it differs from solitude, because solitude can be chosen and restorative.
That's a great point. And I'm curious whether there can be a movement between the one kind and the other, if one can change one's view of loneliness.
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, Elaine, because I think that, I don't know how many of the listeners can relate to this, but I personally experience both. I live alone, and sometimes I feel lonely. Other times, I'm just really enjoying my solitude. You know, particularly when I like start doing something and then 5 minutes into it, I change my mind and go to something else. I always think, if I was doing this with another person, I couldn't just, you know, fritter around the way I'm doing.
And you get to appreciate that. You've been in a household with young children, with a partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's hard to appreciate it for people who haven't been in a kind of noisy, crowded household where there are all these different demands on your energy and attention.
Absolutely. But then the flip side is I miss the children running around. I miss having a partner that I'm living with or, you know, seeing on a regular basis. There are times that I miss that. And I would venture to guess the moments of happy solitude are far less than the moments of loneliness.
Yeah, I feel the same. You know, in the first year of being a widow, and there, you know, obviously there are a lot of times when the solitude for the first time in more than 30 years is very strange.
Yeah.
But I also do enjoy being able to turn on the light in the middle of the night, make whatever I want to eat. You know, there are aspects I enjoy, and it takes me back to a thought, remember from my single days, how lucky we are if we've got active minds with creativity, with ideas coming up, with things you want to explore, versus having the kind of mind that is haunted by unhappiness, by painful memories, by
yeah.
anxiety-provoking ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it would be nice to hear from the listeners about this loneliness versus solitude question. There might be some people out there that, like me and you, experience both feelings, but some might come down more on one than the other, and there might be some people who just enjoy their solitude and they never feel lonely, or the other way around. They just feel lonely and they're not really enjoying any of it.
I want to hear if they've got solutions too.
Yeah.
What do they do in those times when the dust seems to echo around you?
Or even if what they do doesn't really solve the problem, but just how do you try to cope with it? What do you try to do? The number is 212-209-2877. We're talking about loneliness, and we'd like to hear what your experience is with loneliness versus solitude, for example. You know, every group, as we were talking about last week, seems, and gender, seems like they're affected. And which group is the most affected by loneliness is strongly disputed. Many people assume it would be seniors, but there's lots of surprising research that indicates that even though seniors do suffer widely with loneliness, the most affected age group is young people from 16 to 24. Is that kind of shocking, Elaine?
I'm very surprised. Yeah, I didn't expect those numbers.
Yeah, that really, every time I see it, it kind of shocks me. From the standpoint of naturalistic humanism, the loneliness epidemic is partially a consequence of the way our society is affected by accelerating technological change, while our social progress lags behind. Consider this excerpt from my book, Why History Has Not Yet Begun. Could you read that, Elaine?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I was really hoping you would bring it up, because you really home in on these points.
Yeah.
So on a personal level, accelerating technological change during the last 150 years has brought significant lifestyle benefits, freeing people from dissatisfaction, unhappiness, and extreme misery. In the past, beyond basic subsistence, most people focused on their obligatory roles, not on personal fulfillment. Duty and obligation caused people to enter and remain in loveless marriages, be coerced into parenthood, and be pressed into living in proximity to and caring for elderly parents who you might or might not be warmly attached to. Regardless of their own ambitions, people felt obliged to take up the occupation of their parent. In modern culture, rather than feeling obliged to satisfy the expectations of family or community, the quest for personal fulfillment is paramount. And particularly in urban settings, modern society affords a level of anonymity which allows for divergent and alternative lifestyles, including choices of personal appearance, sexuality, gender roles, and religious belief, without worrying about what the neighbors will say. In less technologically advanced societies, nonconformity and eschewing the traditional duties and obligations to pursue personal fulfillment was rare and less feasible. In such societies, people who did not do what was expected were often viewed as a threat to the existing order, putting themselves in conflict with family members or authorities. Having the option to choose careers and lifestyles requires a society sufficiently advanced with a large and diverse economy. The pursuit of personal fulfillment relies upon institutions providing vital services such as preschool daycare, education for older children, senior care facilities, home attendance for the elderly, and government programs for people with disabilities. Today, without obligation and social pressure to conform, the pursuit of personal fulfillment seems as if it should enable people to live happier, more empowered lives, and certainly for many people it does. The change, however, has come with a cost. A society which places a high value on personal fulfillment can also be an insecure and lonely place to live.
And let me continue that. To the extent that personal fulfillment is our primary motivation, commitments are tentative and subject to frequent reassessment. Traditionally, secure and resilient relationships like those between parents and their adult children, between husbands and wives, between siblings, between employers and employees, and between neighbors are increasingly conditional and limited. These countervailing consequences to the pursuit of personal fulfillment is causing increasing numbers of people to experience anxiety, depression, insecurity, frustration, disappointment, anger, resentment, fear, alienation, isolation, and what is called an epidemic of loneliness. So part of the problem is, you know, we get all this freedom in our modern society, but there are all these countervailing things that go with it that are problematic.
Yeah, and our expectations are high. We expect it of ourselves. We expect it from society that we will be happy, that we will be fulfilled.
Right, right. And when it doesn't come through, it's a big letdown. I mean, you know, in some ways, the key to happiness might be lower expectations.
Yeah, yeah. I hear so much. I mean, I feel it myself, but I hear it from friends that the disappointment, that the kind of shock that it isn't meeting those high expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it has a serious impact, as we said, on our health. You know, I was wondering, how does this work? How does just being lonely shorten your life? How does it really impact your health? And we have some information about how this happens. Our number, if you'd like to comment on any of this, is 212-209-2877. Are you lonely? Have you been lonely in the past? Maybe you're not lonely now because things have changed in your life, or maybe you weren't lonely previously, but you are lonely now. Do you know lonely people, and how do you support them or reach out to them, or do you find them difficult to befriend?
I wonder about this impact on health too. If you'd explain, if you lay out for us what it actually means, if people will see themselves in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the first impact is stress hormones and neuroendocrine dysregulation. Loneliness triggers the brain's stress systems. The HPA, which stands for hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis.
Oh, I'm glad you read that, not me.
Yeah, it's not easy. And I'll screw up many others, I'm sure. Particularly in this section where it's like all, like, if you're not a doctor, you're in trouble. And the sympathetic nervous system. This leads to elevating the stress hormone cortisol and epinephrine. Persistent activation wears down the body's regulatory feedback and leads to stress reactivity dysregulation. Over time, these hormonal imbalances are linked to hypertension, metabolic problems, and heart disease. Two, so that first was the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal and sympathetic nervous system problems that come from loneliness. Two is chronic inflammation and immune dysregulation. Loneliness fosters a pro-inflammatory environment. Elevated levels of markers such as IL-6, TNF-A, fibrinogen, and CRP are consistently found in the lonely. I guess this is not very informative because unless you know what this stuff is, it's kind of, you know, esoteric. These inflammatory changes contribute directly to cardiovascular disease, stroke, diabetes, and overall increased mortality. We all know what those are, so.
But I'm just thinking, you know, how often couple who've been together for a long time, and one partner dies, and the other goes downhill really quickly afterwards, that these are the mechanisms that must take them down.
Yep, absolutely. There's even immune gene expression changes. Loneliness not only elevates inflammation, it also rewires immune gene expression. People feeling socially isolated often show overexpression of pro-inflammatory genes and under-inflammatory of antiviral and glucocorticoid response genes. This immunometabolic syndrome impairs normal immune regulation and increases vulnerability to illness. And this is only, we've only gone through half this list, but it goes on. We actually have a caller holding, so let's get to that. This is WBAI, you are on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello?
My name is Marilyn. I'm calling from Morristown, New Jersey.
Oh, Marilyn! The famous Marilyn, my foster mom. How are you?
I'm good. I'm listening to the show, and I'm 92 years old, and everything you say is accurate. But the one thing you leave out, which is extremely important, is volunteering.
Mm.
Something that everybody could do. Something that has your interest. When you give out to other people, you are helping yourself. And so there's really no need to be lonely all the time, because there are other people that really could use your help.
That's
and
true.
That's what I wanted to say. About
that's true. And you've volunteered a lot in your life. And
I volunteered from the time I graduated high school and I went to work. I always was able to find something to do. And recently, we volunteered 20 years at the local veterans hospital.
Yep. That's an amazing record.
Wow. Went twice a week.
Yeah,
20 years.
And that was very rewarding
You even did suicide hotline volunteering and so many.
I had in my home.
Yeah.
So wow. There's something for everybody. Just don't feel sorry for yourself. Say, I have to move along. And you'll find out that you're doing much better. That's all I have to say today, Arnella.
Thanks, Marilyn. Call us again. Talk to you soon.
Arnella, okay, I can see why you thank Marilyn each week. What a fantastic philosophy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. She's really one of a kind. I've been very, very lucky to have found that family in my life when I was really didn't have a family life at all, so that made
that's
all
another great example of them stepping forward
to help.
Yep.
So anyway, there's a bunch of other consequences that come. Automatic nervous system, autonomic nervous system overdrive, behavioral and lifestyle pathways that get messed up from loneliness. Our sleep gets messed up, and that reduces our reparative physiology. And
wow, I'm thinking of a very dear friend of mine who suffers from just about this whole list.
Yeah,
living
yeah.
alone, without family. And
absolutely.
Heart impact, the hyper stress. This is so sad.
We've got another caller, Elaine. We'll get to that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hi.
Okay. Hi. This is Crystal.
Hey, Crystal. How are you?
I'm good. So, the last caller was 90 what?
92.
Oh, my God. Does she have children?
Yes, she does. She does. She lost one, but two survive, and I'm her foster son, so we're all here for her. I'm lucky enough that's my foster mom.
And she sounds 20 years younger.
Because I know a lot of, you know, women that never had children, they tend to, they look more physically fit and sometimes even sound more healthier. As if children pull all the way from you, so I'm not going to put that out there.
I hear that.
You know, that's true. If nobody had babies, the world wouldn't populate. Okay. I also know, Arnan, that it's what we put in our system. Like me, coffee, something in my mind told me a long time ago, don't drink coffee, it makes you depressed. And I knew that. And then a study came out on the news that said a certain percentage of women were becoming depressed drinking coffee.
Wow, it's a good thing I take plenty of antidepressants.
Could you drink a coffee?
Because I drink, I drink a cup.
I like the way coffee tastes.
Yeah.
But so it's what we put in us, the caffeine and different stuff like that. But I refuse to take antidepressants and stuff because the side effects, they say, it can increase your wanting to commit suicide and it can give you kidney failure. I said, well, shit,
That's depressed. Yeah.
I'm going to stay depressed. If the side effects is going to do all of that, then I'll just stay depressed.
You know what we don't know, Crystal? We don't know how many people have been saved from suicide because of antidepressants.
You're right. I'm not putting them. Wait on that.
Yeah.
I'm just putting them down. I know a girl, she says she takes her happy pill every morning. And she said she could not have continued life without it.
Right.
So you're 100% right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But Crystal, you sound full of energy. You sound really positive.
Well, you know, I just did something very liberating today. I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up.
Okay.
It's a mural, right, of some Mexican or Cuban guy. And on the side of it, it has the Puerto Rican flag. And then it says, self-determination is a human right. So every time I go past this mural, Arnand and your host, I see it and it gives me energy. Sometimes I touch it and all this kind of thing, and it really inspires me. So now there's these orange trees growing over it, just covering the wording. And I said to myself, I can't go over there and destroy the tree because that's not my property. But I went and I got my little ladder and I pushed the stuff.
Good for you.
And one guy's walking by, he's telling me, but there's nothing there. As if I'm disrupting something. There's nothing. He didn't even see the word, the mural.
Right.
He didn't see me doing something to the tree.
Yeah.
And pushed the things back, and now you can see the mural. And it was so liberating for me.
You volunteered yourself.
Uh-huh.
You volunteered yourself. You did what Marilyn was suggesting. You volunteered.
Yeah.
And you were that line.
But I
self-determination.
Said, I was away in Puerto Rico. He ain't coming back. So his tree is growing over this awesome mural.
That's great.
So I'm saying that to say that was my liberation moment for the day, and it felt so good.
And that's powerful.
That and calling into WBAI to our program. Thank you for your call, Crystal. Appreciate it.
Self-empowering.
Yep. Appreciate it. Talk to you again. We have another caller on the line, I believe. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, maybe we don't have that second caller on the line, which is fine. If you got cut off, call us back, caller. Listeners, are you lonely? How long have you felt this way? Do you think there's anything you could do that would make you feel less lonely? And if you're not currently lonely, have you been lonely in the past? We'd love to hear about what changed. Do you know anyone who's dealing with loneliness? Our number, again, is 212-209-2877. And we're going to take our halfway break and we'll take it a little early, and we'll be right back. 212-209-2877.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support
right here on 99.5
FM WBAI New York.
Non-commercial, listener-sponsored
Peace and Justice Radio.
On Wednesdays from 2 to 3, Naturalistic Support is taking listener calls, offering a revolutionary new way to to think about ourselves and reach out to each other.
I just wanted to call in to give encouragement to the last caller.
It hit right on where I am right at this moment.
You really hit the proverbial nail on the head.
I really connected with what you were saying about loneliness.
We are hardwired to help each other.
Getting past the blame, owning your own truth, letting go of judgmental thoughts.
I felt so fortunate to hear this.
You went through every single one of the things that I've been working on with my life. Now you said all that, I'm like, holy cow, what is this guy doing? Is he talking to me right now?
The Naturalistic Revolution is a game changer. Listen to us break it down on Wednesdays from 2 to 3.
I wanted to thank you so much. You helped me so much.
We're back. This is Naturalistic Support, and we're talking about loneliness and the epidemic of it and the way that it really has a great impact on our emotional and physical health. Today,
can I pick up?
Yeah,
what
go ahead.
You were talking about?
Yeah, go right ahead.
These health points, I think, are so important.
Yeah.
And was it Crystal who mentioned trying to cut back on, well, not drinking coffee?
Yeah.
I can't get up in the morning without my coffee. But it's, as you pointed out, lonely individuals tend to adopt more health-damaging behaviors. Poor diet, they don't take the time and effort to feed themselves properly. Increased alcohol use, smoking, less physical activity, and disrupted sleep. I think that's a problem for a lot of people if they're anxious and lonely.
Yeah.
And they might also neglect their own health care and medication adherence.
Yep, absolutely. You know, have to interrupt again because we've got callers on the line, Elaine. So let's get to them. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, yes. This is Laura DeSilva, Brooklyn.
Hi, Maud.
Yeah, Laura.
Oh, Laura, I couldn't hear you. Gotcha, Laura, sorry.
Yes, I wanted to comment, the last caller, she attacked my coffee. But anyway, this is one of my motivations for getting up in the morning because I do look forward to the different types of coffee and flavors and not to be long-winded on coffee.
Oh, you're a connoisseur, okay.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I look forward to that coffee. And it gets me going. And then, you know, one of my doctors told me, you know, it's good for your circulation, your breathing, and it works for me. And I mean, not for everybody. But getting back to the loneliness part, so my husband's been dead maybe 10 years now.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be an issue. For a minute, it was. But now, as time passes, I've gotten into gardening. Right now, I'm designing a rock garden. I got into that by being on social media.
Nice.
It never actually came to me about, you know, flowers and horticulture. And this is really, and the other thing about loneliness is your time. I have arthritis now, so a lot of my time is taken up on social media looking for a cure for my pain for arthritis. The other part of your time is spent at Whole Foods and vitamin shop buying supplements that do help you.
Yeah.
So your time goes so fast now. I don't really have the time to be lonely, but now I have a friend that does. She calls me every day. She's got different issues. And I tell her, spend your time, do a wellness check on your neighbors. I do that also. The kindness and things that you do, join a group. It will get you out there amongst other people. And then you can help them. If they're lonely, you can give them suggestions. So this is what I do. I just wanted to say that. You know?
Yeah, that's what our first caller, Marilyn, suggested. Volunteering absolutely can make a big difference.
Right.
Laura, do you garden with other people?
Yes, there's a church down the street that, to me, wasn't growing. So now I go out with the neighbor, like you said, to do a wellness check. I see who's got food. I see who's got issues. We really don't know how to maybe contact the city of New York. You need Meals on Wheels. They don't know how to do it. Maybe they don't have, you know, social service or a caregiver, and, you know, do things like that. Because there are a lot of people that's in need of just different things here in New York. It's really overwhelming. And your talents, your spirituality, your kindness is really needed.
Thank you, Laura. Really appreciate the call.
Really
call us again.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And we have another call. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hi.
Hey, who's...
Samuel?
Yeah, caller, you're on. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Oh. Hi, I'm Samuel from Spring Valley, New York.
Hey, Samuel.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a compliment, tell you that I see most people call are older people. I just want to say people of all ages listen to your show. I'm 16 and I'm in school, but when I don't have school, like right now, I listen to your show.
That's great to hear.
That's great. You know, somebody was just asking me, do young people listen? I'm like, I guess some must, but they don't necessarily call in. So that's really nice. Thank you so much, Samuel. Really appreciate it.
Samuel, what do you think about these figures that say that young people, 16 to 24, are also experiencing loneliness? Do you see it amongst people your age?
Well, I don't know.
How about you? Do you feel lonely, Samuel?
No, I have a lot of friends. I'm in school.
Good.
I mean, not right now, but when I'm in school, I have a lot of friends. I socialize, so no, I'm not lonely.
That's great.
Maybe other kids my age are. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean statistics.
Go ahead, Elaine. Can I ask this or not?
Yeah.
Do you ever see people at school who seem to like sit on their own? Don't join other people in the cafeteria, who look as if they have trouble connecting with others?
Well, actually, now that you mention it, I realize there are a few kids in my school that do. I think they do. They are lonely. I mean, I'm going to start going over to them, talking to them, because now I realize. But yeah.
Good man. You could be a hero.
I had a feeling that you're social enough that you'd know how to help them get over that a little.
Yeah, I'll try to help them now that you mentioned it. I never realized.
Call us back. Let us know how it goes, Samuel, because you could really make a big difference for another student.
Yeah.
That's
great.
I just wanted to say, all my friends listen to the show. It's good for even 16-year-olds.
All right.
That's excellent.
Thank you, my man.
And it's recorded, huh? So if people can't, you know, if they're busy, if they have a class or whatever,
yeah,
you can listen afterwards.
Well, you could listen at the archives. There's also a podcast on iTunes. It's called, same title as the show, Naturalistic Support. And if you got iTunes or Spotify, we are a podcast that you could download or listen to streaming.
And we'd love to have you on the air.
Definitely.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call, Samuel. Call us again. And I think we should have one more caller on the line here. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi there. You can call me Steven. I'm calling in from Long Island, New York.
Hey, Steven.
Yeah, I want to say born in the late 90s, I really relate to the discourse about loneliness. Because there's just so many different, like, my generation, the first internet generation, was the ones who really had to bear the brunt of this, that we, a lot of us are adults now, but we grew up in this mediascape that we're in where we have all of these sources coming down on us, telling us that we have to be, or that we can't interact with others, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's the next thing we were going to go into if we didn't have a bunch of calls was we're going to talk about AI chatbots and AI companions because that seems to be an increasingly popular thing now.
And dangerous.
And there's promise and peril.
I would love to speak on that because what that's a symptom of is that we have problems in our lives and then we're told to go and deal with them on our own. You know, maybe we can change our diet. Maybe we can change our mindset or our perspective. When really I wanted to say, like, I've struggled with a lot of loneliness, and currently I think I'm in a better place than I have ever been. But a lot of it has come from realizing, like, that this isn't an individual responsibility issue, this loneliness epidemic. It's a collective responsibility issue. That
absolutely.
They don't get involved. They don't help the people around them, and they don't make it okay for other people to talk about what they're struggling with. I tell people I'm an open source to you know, come to and talk about their problems, to talk about if they're feeling sad. I've had people who came to me with suicidal thoughts and told me they had attempted things, and I had to have uncomfortable and safe conversations that people usually avoid. And like, the only way out is to talk to one another, to organize.
Absolutely. I mean, we have in our culture, we have toxic, rugged individualism. You know, rugged individualism, just what you said, that the solution is a collective one. It's not it shouldn't be the burden of the individual, as we kind of place that burden on individuals. It's not fair.
The word of the day is alienation. And you look at things, people saying, I'm lonely, people saying, I don't have these things, I don't know what to do. And that what it comes down to is, I don't have control because of the system. I don't have power. I don't have these things that I'm subconsciously expecting from life. And if you think you're lonely and you're struggling, ironically, you're one in a million. Everybody is having these thoughts, and nobody is allowed to talk about that. And it's so funny that as soon as I started opening my mouth and breaking some of these social conventions and saying, I don't care, I need to tell somebody I'm sad, all of a sudden other people came forward and were like, I feel the same way. I'm struggling in the same way.
Yeah.
That's so great for me.
Yeah, that's really excellent to hear. Excellent to hear. Where in Long Island are you, Stephen?
Out in Suffolk County.
Oh, okay. Because I was just going to say, in Nassau County, there is an ethical culture society, which is great for connecting to other people, but that might be a little ways for you if you're out in Suffolk.
But well, I'm talking, Stephen, what did you do?
Alienation.
Yeah.
What did you do to get out of the... You mentioned being lonely. What did you do to change things?
That's a good question. I mean, really just trying to work on oneself. Like, it's corny for people to say, well, time heals all wounds or something like that. But really just researching, having this desire for knowledge, learning about, frankly, like reading Karl Marx and reading socialist literature really changed my perspective in a lot of ways. I realized, oh my God, there's all of these, you know, like I said, the word of the day is alienation. And we're all separated from one another and forced to interact with each other all the time, but not act like humans to each other.
Yeah, we do have a very alienating system.
And you learned, you learned how to speak up, to be personal. And to share with other people.
That's great. I mean, you know, it sounds like you've been on quite a journey, and again, that theme of helping others really helps ourselves when we reach out. And it sounds like you're doing the work, and that's great, Stephen.
I totally agree with that. People, you know. We all have our own differences, and none of us on our own is enough to change anything. But suddenly, you know, that becomes the irrational becomes rational when a million people are doing something. You know, talking to people, learning about these things really does make a difference in small ways.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Stephen, thank you for your call. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And call for having the show, and I just moved in the area recently, and I was very happy to see BAI still going. So
yeah, we're hanging on. Thank you, Stephen. Call us again. Bye bye. That was some good calls there, Elaine.
Yeah, excellent.
Yep. And if you're lonely, or you know people who are lonely, and Do you think there's anything you could do to make yourself less lonely? We want to hear about it. If you've dealt with it in the past or if you're helping someone else deal with it. Our number is 212-209-2877. And Elaine, as I was going to say that this topic of AI companions is really very interesting because there's promise in a lot of ways and there's also peril. There's also there's some really scary stuff about AI chatbots, but it's also helped a lot of people. If you've had any experience with AI chatbots or AI companions, let us know about it. Our number is 212-209-2877. And I actually have a clip that I'd like to play from a program, a podcast called Science Versus. And the clip is it's called AI Chatbots, Are They Dangerous? In the episode, they offered some interesting research results. And I'm going to play that clip. The hosts talked with Professor Julian DeFreitas from Harvard Business School, who studies how AI is used in business. DeFreitas was curious if a claim by an AI companion company that their AI companion reduces loneliness was credible.
So he and some colleagues, they tested this, but they actually built their own chatbot. They made it very warm and friendly. Yeah, so then he and his colleagues, they designed a controlled trial to see if this rang true for other people. So he got about 300 people in this trial, and he had them take a survey about their loneliness. He asked them stuff like, how often do you feel isolated or left out or lacking companionship, stuff like that. And he split them up into different conditions. So one group did basically what Julian himself had tried out. They talked to the chatbot for 15 minutes.
Okay.
Other groups spent 15 minutes doing something else. So for example, one group chatted to other participants. This is all done online. So they were basically in a chat room talking to a stranger, a real human.
Okay, so that, yeah, like what I used to do when I was a kid in the early days of AOL.
Uh-huh. Another group spent 15 minutes watching YouTube.
Okay.
And what we found is after interacting with the chatbot, we saw that they said that they felt less lonely than they did before interacting with it.
So it worked.
Yeah, it did.
Yep, talking to the chatbot made people feel less lonely.
Okay. Was it better than talking to the stranger?
It was about the same. So it was about as effective as talking to a human stranger. But it was better than watching YouTube, which didn't make a difference.
Right. Do people think YouTube makes you less lonely? Like, is it because you're watching a person?
Whether or not people think it makes you less lonely, surveys do find that people do turn to stuff like YouTube when they feel lonely. YouTube, social media, podcasts.
Oh, no. Could chatbots be coming for us too, Rose? Okay. So that means the AI robot Rando was like just as good as another rando on the internet that was human.
Yeah. And Julian and his colleagues, they also wanted to look under the hood here a little bit. What was it about the bot that helped people feel less lonely?
Mm.
So they also asked participants questions about how competent the bot seemed and also how empathetic it seemed. Questions like, did it feel like the bot could put itself in their shoes? And so when they put all this together, they found that the empathy part made the biggest difference for people's loneliness. And Julian interprets that to mean that this works because the chatbot makes people feel heard.
This idea of feeling heard is that someone, or I guess in this case, something, is really understanding you and empathizing with you and truly attending to what you're saying, that's responding in a personalized way.
Don't you need a human being to feel heard?
Yeah, so this is a sort of, in some ways, perplexing phenomenon because it suggests that it's more an illusion that's happening, as if there are certain social receptors that are being tickled by these interactions, and that's enough for you to get the benefits, even if that conversation is not based in reality.
So he's kind of like, even though you know you're not talking to a human, if its responses are human enough, and if it makes you feel like it's really listening and sort of understanding and internalizing the things that you're saying, like that can be helpful to people.
Yeah, I mean, other researchers actually have found something similar. There was a study where the researchers had people chat online to either a chatbot or a human, and they asked them to talk about something that was emotional, to disclose like some emotional stuff, which can have some benefits to you, like the catharsis of discussing something emotional. And then they measured to see, did they get the same benefits talking to, just having that kind of emotional conversation with the chatbot? They knew it was a chatbot versus a human. They knew it was a human. And they found it was pretty much the same. It was equally beneficial.
Okay.
So there's something to this illusion thing, right? Like, we know it's a magic trick, but it still looks like the page is moving, you know, to use Julian's metaphor.
Okay. So if they're like pulling the right levers, I can see how that would make you feel better.
And I think that for some people in particular, this illusion might be more powerful than for other people. So another study I wanted to tell you about is actually pretty shocking. This one was done at Stanford. Researchers surveyed about 1,000 students who were already using an AI companion app called Replica. So people who had already like found this app and downloaded it and like had an AI companion for a while. And it was kind of a survey of these people. 30 of the people of this group of 1,000 told the researchers that talking to the chatbot stopped them from killing themselves.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Like, for some people, it's like, no, this is like really useful. And like, for some people, they have actually said that they think it was life-saving.
Yeah, that's right. They've said it was life-saving for them.
What? That is really surprising to me.
But that's only part of the story, because the research is new and it's mixed. I also found a preprint study that found that the more time people spent talking to a chatbot, the worse off they were mentally, the lonelier they were.
Oh.
And, you know, that's hard to tease apart correlation and causation, of course, because you can imagine if you're very lonely, you might be more likely to spend more time talking to a chatbot. So we don't know exactly what's going on there, and we don't have enough research to tease this apart or know like why it might be helpful for some and not for others.
So yeah, it's a mixed bag, Elaine. Oh, here
Brings
we go.
Up a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, it does. Doesn't it? It's pretty mixed. We're not going to have time for another clip where they actually talk about the dark side of all of this, where an AI chatbot convinced a man to commit suicide, a boy to commit suicide, and the father is suing OpenAI that sponsors ChatGPT chatbot.
Can I just mention something that just really struck me in what they're saying? I mean, I understand how pleasurable it can be to have something that seems to respond to you, really hear you, respect you, like you, you know, be positive in response to you, but it doesn't ask anything in return from you. You can be whatever kind of asshole you want, because it doesn't need you to be kind back.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, it's kind of like prayer. Are you praying to something and getting comfort or wisdom or guidance from something that just needs theoretically you to pay attention, but it's not getting anything back from you?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a weird relationship.
Yeah.
Compared to real people interacting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And it is strange, and that you know, I've heard interesting conversations about the morality of taking out our frustrations on AI, because ultimately we're teaching ourselves behaviors that are antisocial, and
you can be whatever you want to be because there's no consequence.
Yeah, we can fit in one last caller on the line. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Pardon?
Hello?
I know. Hello?
Is this Crystal again?
No, yeah, Adam.
I just, if you can't listen to me, fine. I just called back. I wanted to say that there's an actress, Regina Bell, I think is her name.
Yeah.
Very famous young woman. But her son used to do TikTok, and he committed suicide. They found a note, and the note said, please keep your kids off of TikTok, because he said it drove him to suicide.
Yeah.
I noticed one time, when I'm on my tablet, there's times where I can feel it pulling my energy and making me weak. So sometimes I say, oh, no, time to get off.
Yeah, nice I hear you. Thank you for the call, and we're pretty much gotta wrap things up. So call us again. Talk to you soon. Yeah, that is a problem. We there's so much more we can say about this, but we do have to wrap things up. Before we go, a quick pitch for your support. As we said, today we celebrate our 1 year anniversary. But to be here for another year, it's going to require your support. So if you could make a small monthly donation in the name of our show, it'll go a long way to ensuring that we can continue to be here for you. We've got many great topics planned, including dark traits and all kinds of other ideas, like harmonizing with nature, which we probably might be doing very soon, and naturalistic humanism in society, God and judgmental thinking. In addition to volunteering the many hours necessary to produce our program, WBAI hosts and producers are making monthly donations. I myself signed up for a $20 donation. If you could become a WBAI buddy in the name of our program for as little as $5 a month by going to buddy.wbai.org, buddy.wbai.org, and picking naturalistic support from the pull-down menu, that would do so much for us, and we really appreciate it. You've been listening to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnell Doré. Joining me today was Elaine Durbach. Thanks to our engineer Rich Johnson and to Hilla Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for another edition of Naturalistic Support. Archived editions of our program can be found on our website at wbai.org and at equaltimeforfreethought.org. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn. And remember, always try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through.